Praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to bring your life-giving words. I thank you for this congregation, Lord, who hunger for you and who want more of you. We thank you that you show us your way, God, and I thank you for what you're going to do through me today. May they hear you through me. I ask it in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Today's message is favor and a good name. Favor and a good name. Please turn to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. We're going to read 1 through 6. There's some things I want to establish before I explain what favor and a good name is. Before you can really have a good name, you have to know the name that is above every name. You have to know the Most High God, El Elyon. You have to know who he is and what his nature is like and what he's like before you can take on that name. And the name with how your name stands with Yeshua is so much more important than how your name stands with man. I care about what people think of me. You know, the Bible says, have no man despise you. And I believe that in love you can live out this way, the way of Yeshua, and still have people love you. You're always going to have enemies, believe me. In fact, Gene was saying last night, since we got into this, into Hungry Hearts, and got into the Torah and everything, we have finding out that even on this side of the bridge, apart from our Sunday worship thing, there's much more controversy. But I got to thinking, you know, there's all kinds of Sabbath-keeping churches that don't agree. There's all kinds of calendars that people don't agree, names they don't agree. But I got to thinking about that. You know, there's going to be more confusion by the enemy thrown in to try to really keep us from what is truly right. And if you're in the faith and everything is flowing cool and everybody loves everybody and there's nothing going wrong and everything is, you're probably not in the devil's way. He's probably giving you free flow and whatever you're in, because you're not interrupting his plan, which is to deceive. And a lot of us were born into that. A lot of us were born into believing some things that are not true. And you know, we have to be teachable. And I'm in my 60s. I'm over 60. I'm 61, and I am still teachable. I'll tell you what, if God's ways are above our ways, as the heavens are from the earth, you're going to tell me you know everything? In fact, when I was working at a place in Boonville, there was a church that their pastor told them that they were perfect. I'm serious. He said, we have it all right here. We know the exact plan of God and everything. We got it wrapped up. And I thought, man, that's scary. That is above scary. I'm sure you've gotten to Proverbs 3 by now. All right, 1 through 6. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years. Us old people like to hear that. And bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Yeshua is love personified, is he not? That was in that song we sang not long ago. He is love. He is faithful. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Verse 3. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. You notice God is listed first. It's more important to have your name in favor with God than with man. All you have to do is turn to Psalm. Oops, just knocked the clock all over the place. That's all right. You have to turn to Psalm 118:8. Psalm 118:8. This is the difference of, you know, it's good, like I say, I love everybody to love me. And in fact, I've tolerated too much in my life because I want everyone to love me. I've tried to avoid conflict. But really, there's a time when you just have to turn around and say, hey, I ain't taking that. We can't tolerate that. That's the problem. We've just hug sin. I mean, we'd allow it in the church, and because we're all love. But I tell you what, God is love, and God hates sin. And like I said before, the theory of disagreement, you must hate sin. You must hate the opposite of what you truly love. So if you truly love Yeshua, you must hate sin, which is the opposite of who Yeshua is. You have to. Psalm 118:8 says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." Now let's turn to Acts 5:29 and see what Paul said. Acts 5:29. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." We have to remember that. We must obey God. You know, we must obey the rules set forth by God. You know, the Lord showed me the other day, rules without relationship breeds rebellion. Rules without relationship. It's all about knowing the God of the universe. El Elyon, the Most High God, the only true God, the only living God. Before, you know, you must have a relationship. Rules without relationship breeds rebellion. And people have a lot of rules, but they don't have a relationship. And therefore, they buck God's way, which is the way in capital letters, which you'll find in Acts several times. Now turn to Isaiah 2:22, please. Isaiah 2:22. I didn't have it. Should have had something marked in there. I didn't. Isaiah 2:22. Again, it's talking about our relationship with God versus man. Stop trusting in man who has but a breath in his nostrils. Of what account is he? Isn't it more important to have favor with a God that lives forever than want the love from man that is fleeting and doesn't mean that much? But like I say, I love everybody to love me. Shoot, yeah, and God can, by his love, if we do it his way, we can get favor with not only him, which is first and foremost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will then be added to you. So, first things first. So, Yeshua first. And then, you know, you can worry about man after that. But our purpose and our outreach at Hungry Hearts is focused on bringing people to Yeshua. That's what it's all about. And that's what, you know, the Lord cast a vision for Pastor Bill. He caught it and showed us the way to Yeshua. We follow him. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Well, that's what we do. We follow Bill as the man that cast the vision. Everybody thinks, well, I don't follow a man. I follow God. Well, we all follow a man in some way. We all have leaders. If not, we can't be all individual little churches. God says, assemble yourselves together. You know, there's no room for narcissism, for self-love. You need other people. You know, with just one, it won't get done. Trust me on that. Now, my son at one time was deceived by the book of Urantia. So you all go, what in the heck is that? There's a lot of weird stuff out there, folks. The book of Urantia told him that, man, you got the information, brother. It's, you know it, and nobody else does. So just remember to stay where you're at and study this book of Urantia, and you'll be one of the few wise people in the earth. Forget about getting together. That ain't good. See, the devil wants you isolated because like briquettes in a charcoal, if you set it apart from the other charcoals, it will soon get cold. I mean, try it sometime. You need the heat. You need the fire of the other people, the people that are close to God. And let's not beat one another up. When we get together, let's encourage one another, because, man, the world beats us up all day, all week long. And it's nice to enter this rest on the Sabbath day this glorious rest, and I'm trying to learn to enjoy it more. As a pastor, you know, there are some things that need to be done, but I'm trying to really enter that rest. And it hasn't been easy. We've been in this for 3 years, and I know that I'm in the right way because I'm experiencing some fierce fighting in the spirit and with my mind. But let this mind be in me that's also in Christ. Lord, we're in a battle, but you know we win. Now, we've all read Revelation. Amen. Hallelujah. Greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. There's no good in me. Without Christ, I am so lost. So dead. Dead dust. I'm one of them little mites that we talked about, the microcosm, little things. In God's eye. But you know what? He lifts us up. That last song we sang. I love that. I don't mean to pause so long. Sorry. The people that listen to the CD probably going to freak out. Where'd the guy go? I just get emotional sometimes. You know, I first came to Hungry Hearts. It felt good. That's all I know. And I knew God was here. I did not know all the theological things that he believed, that everybody believed here. In fact, had I known it before I came, I'd have never came. You have really upset my theology cart. And I'm still picking up the pieces. But it's okay. Because I needed it racked. I needed it tipped over. I needed to know that, hey, you know, I'm the one who sets things in order. You will erect your theology cart according to what I have planned, not what you have been deceived by man. But like I say, man's important. God uses men to lead others to himself. And so I'm not knocking man. I'm a man myself. So, hey, I like men. I like my fellow man. You know, of course, I love my gene better. Let's keep that straight. But, pursuing Yeshua in order to know Him and have a relationship with Him is the essence of our faith. Pursuing God in order to know Him and have a relationship with Him is the essence of our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's how we have eternal life. Let's turn to John 17, please. John 17. John 17, verse 1 through 4. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now, this is eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you have given me. You gave me to do. Christ knew he had a work to do, and he said to his mother Mary, "You know, I must be about my Father's business." He was always about being in the business of his Father. He was always, and that's what I want to be. And I want to be a man of the Word and a man of the work of God, the kingdom of God. On earth. Thy will be done on earth. We lead and guide you to Yeshua so that you will know who he is, what his nature is like, and what his name is. When you get to know Yeshua, you will love him. And when you love someone, you speak to them, and you let them speak back to you. That those times when the still small voice, that be still and know that I am God, when you're in that presence with God, and you don't do all the talking and you just sit there and, you know, just bask in his love and his and think about the good things, whatever is pure, lovely, of good report. Think on these things, God says. There's times I have to, when I get in alone with God, I have to just, man, the world has so much to try to interrupt me and disturb me, but I must. I'll use music. I'll use whatever I have to. I try to get in the spirit. David used music. Some people, I like to use music also, except that now, this Christmas time, when I turn on the radio, all I hear is jingle bells and stuff like that, and it's kind of, so I just shut it off. And you know what? You can still, the song of all songs are there. The song in your heart is there. Just fan the flame of faith yourself, like David did, and know that He is God. And He has a plan and a purpose for you that's so awesome. Better than you can ever imagine or hope. You know, it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man what God has for those who love Him. But read the next sentence. But He reveals it by His Spirit. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. You know, the written word is good, black and white is good, but without the Spirit added to these words, it's just ink on paper. And you have to let it into your mind and then into your heart. And those things that are not of God, you know, in Philippians it says, whatever those things you've heard and learned and seen of me, do. And that's been my scripture. That is my scripture. The Corinth church is probably sick of hearing it, but I keep saying it. You know, Paul said, whatever you've learned and heard and seen of me. We are hungry hearts. We're continually looking for more because we know God is an unending source of goodness and love and happiness, and we just want more. And that's a relationship. And that's what it's all about. If I can find my way here. I haven't done any of this paper here. Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, the secret things belong to God. Deuteronomy 29:29. I love those double verses because you can always remember them. It says the secret things belong to God, but the secret things that He reveals to you belong to you and your family forever. So there's things we're not going to know, and that's okay. That's why God is who God is. If we knew everything about God, we could control Him. Isn't that what man tries to do? He tries to say, well, he doesn't understand faith or have faith. He wants to control God by understanding everything about God, and then He wouldn't be God. So there's going to be things we don't understand. That's okay. You know, people run and fear things they don't understand. But God, okay, you don't understand Him. He's not out to get you, though. You know? He's not out to get you. He's out to save you. He would that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. You know, and His good is just God extended. The word good, you take it, it's just God extended. All things that are good are God. And He has so much for us. And He wants us to know the correct way to serve Him and to love Him and to be one of His. We thank God for that. We stress a relationship, not a religion. We live a lifestyle, not a lie. We live to please God, not appease man. We possess Yeshua. We don't just profess Him. We possess Yeshua. Sabbath is not a temporary tidbit of time observed once a week. It's an all-day, 24-hour holy observance to the God of all gods. Truly, you know, observing the Sabbath is a sign that you are one of His. I'm not going to go there not right now because of time, but read Exodus 31:12-18. You'll find the scripture in Bill's book, Holy Time with God, which is an awesome book. It's free through the Ministry of Hungry Hearts. Be sure to get the book by Pastor Bill, Holy Time with God. To understand God's plan requires the first step, Sabbath observance 101. I mean, as you start to observe, then everything begins to come into view of God's original plan for you. And the Lord told me about a year into following Hungry Hearts that as you walk it out, He will work it out. And I know that was totally from God. But you have to walk it. See, that's that step of faith. Everybody wants to understand everything about Hungry Hearts before they get into Hungry Hearts. But you don't get right to get God. You get God to get right. You come in and you learn. We all need to be learners. You know, God talked about a pliable heart. And at times my heart is hard towards some things, but I have to keep it pliable. Otherwise, you know, when your organs start to harden, you're in serious trouble. Hardening of the arteries, or, you know, cirrhosis of the giver. When you start to hold on to your wallet, you know, when you know you reach in, everything belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. You don't own anything, you know. People say, mine. It's not, you wouldn't have nothing. You wouldn't have this very breath if it weren't for God's grace. And he died on the cross. He did it all. We do keep the law. We keep the Torah. But we don't keep it to get saved. We keep it because we are saved.
Hallelujah.
And because we know that God loves us, and that plan is the plan. The true formula for true faith is Torah observance and spirit filled. And that's the key. That's the, you know, chemistry has formulas, and life is full of formulas. Mathematical, chemical, you name it, has a formula. Well, this is it. Torah observance and spirit filled. I know that's the answer. And I'm learning to love Yeshua more and more. As someone, bad English, said, he just, huh? Gooder and gooder. Better and better. Whatever, yeah. But, you know, we need to grow in God. Let's turn to Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians 4:14. We need to grow in God. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitfulness, in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does His work, does its work. It says right here that we need to build ourselves up, build, as the body builds itself. You want to stay isolated, you will not be built up. You will be beat down. And that's not good. We need each other. Please come to Sabbath. Please come and love a God who has nothing but good things for you. Proverbs 22:1. Let's go there. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. You know, it's good to be loved. It's good to be liked. And as I said, as we follow the way, we're going to have opposition, but it's okay. I know some of you are experiencing some severe persecution because you have decided to follow Yeshua in the way that you need to follow Yeshua by the Torah and spirit filled. But count it all joy when you receive, you know, when you suffer for what is good. And it's not fun when you're in it. It's like, man, you know, we've had our family reject us in some ways, and they get real quiet, real silent. My sister asked me, "Do you speak in tongues?" I said, "Yeah." Oh. That was the end of that. But that's all right. You know, my sister loves me, and she's going to come around. So is my whole family, and I love my family, and they love me, and it's going to work out because God has a good plan for them to see that it will be revealed to them. People love to hear their own name. I used to, when I was in sales, man, we had to learn how to learn names and associate and stuff like that. You love, and you know it. You come in and someone says, "Hey, brother," you know, they know you don't know you know they don't know your name. But when they say, "Hi, Bill. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Philip. You know, Jeremy. Hi, you know, David, whatever." You love that. You love to hear your own name because you know that they took the time to remember your name. And it's good. It feels good to be recognized and respected, to be thought well of. We like to be acknowledged. Turn to John 10, please, verse 3. John 10:3. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The Lord calls us by name. In fact, he knew our name before we were born, and he knows the new name we'll receive in the kingdom of God. And it's going to be an awesome name.
Hallelujah.
And it'll be written on a stone, man. It's not going to be just... I love that. God's got to know our name, and he calls us friend because he reveals secrets to us. And it's good to know, you know, that I am a friend of God. I love that song. It's good to know that God loves us, and he stays closer than a brother. And the Lord also likes his name to be acknowledged. Let's go to Psalm 91:14. We all love Psalm 91, Psalm of Protection. I at one time memorized this by heart, but I can't do it no more. Psalm 91, verse 14. God likes his name acknowledged. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name.
Hey, hey, hey.
I'm reading all from the NIV, by the way, for those of you on tape. Everybody else here knows I use NIV. But because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. We're looking for that rescue, aren't we? When he lifts us up to the... I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. We need to acknowledge the name that is above every name. Turn to Matthew, please, 10. Matthew 10. We're going to read 32 and 33. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Don't ever be ashamed that you know Yeshua by name, and when you speak his name, don't shy back. Don't shrink back. Because it's a good name. It is the name. We do not like our names misused, do we? Made fun of or disrespected. No, we really don't care, like I said, what man thinks. But we still don't like to hear things against us. The Lord commands us in commandment number 3 about misusing his name. Let's go to Exodus 20. Let's go to the Torah. First 5 books. We're going to go to Exodus. Exodus, what did I say? 20, verse 7. These are the 10 commandments, not the 10 suggestions. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Tells you right there. When God talks about not misusing his name, he isn't talking about so much about sacred names. You know, that you have to be specifically pronounced a certain way. He's talking about how we respect and revere his name in our hearts and in our minds, how we speak about him and how we live our lives. We are to praise and extol, E-X-T-O-L, the name of God. Turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. We're going to read 1 and 2. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. I looked up the word extol because I didn't know what it meant. And it means to praise highly, to lift up or lift out. That means when we hear or see the name of Yeshua, Jesus, being made fun of or degraded, then we are to speak up. And I have done it. I've gotten, you know, and it's worked because God honors those that lift him up. Okay, I forgot where I was here. Okay. We are to speak up. You know, when people swear, when people use God's name wrong, when they, I have told them, hey, please do not use the name of my God in your swearing. I've asked them nice. And they respond. They have not done so. No one does that after you ask them nicely. Say, look, I really, you know, you can swear, man, if you want, but I tell you what, don't use my God's name, please. You wouldn't want me to use your mother's name, would you? You wouldn't want me to use what you love in vain, or, you know, just callously and degradingly. So please don't do that to my God. And you'll find out not only that they're not swearing God's name in front of you, they won't cuss at all in front of you. You know? And I got out of the Navy, I had to learn how to talk all over again. But because out of the heart, the mouth speaks, you know? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And all that degrading stuff. I told one guy, I said, do you eat out of that same mouth you talk out of? I said, man, that's some junk coming out of there. I tell you what, you know, cuss like a sailor. I was a sailor in Vietnam. Okay. Tell me I need to learn to talk over again. And you know, I love God, but I wasn't really serving God. I was still looking. I was a hungry heart then, didn't realize it. But I always have loved God. I haven't always followed God the way I needed to, but I have a heart for God. And I believe there's a lot of people out there that have a heart for God, but they're just in confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. And they see us on this side and they think, well, look at all the differences they have in their side. You know, they're worse than us. That's because they're flowing in the flow of just the devil's letting you go because you're headed down the wide road. Plenty of people there, plenty of way, you know. I know the way, man, there's 9,700 people going that way. So I'll just, they must be right. After all, how can that many people be that stupid? Well, I'll tell you what, it's not that they're stupid. People aren't ignorant, they're just not aware, they're not awake. And they haven't kept searching. They have gotten comfortable. And we have to, you know, what was it? Someone once said it was so good. You have to conflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. Comfort the afflicted and conflict the comfortable. We can't get comfortable in our faith because there's always more. You know, and we can't get angry. Righteous anger, you know, which is aroused to destroy sin, is okay. We can't do what anger say. Hey, man, you know, I've just said to people, look, just don't use God's name, all right? And it works. If you're, let's go to the story of Dagon, 1 Samuel 5. 1 Samuel 5. You know, I believe a lot of people who are that call themselves Christians are not paganists. Because I looked up the definition of pagan, and pagan means to follow a god other than the God, the main God, other than Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Okay, so they're following Jesus. It's just that they're doing it their way instead of Yeshua's way. And so, although they're not pagans, they have put God in their pagan temple, like the story of Dagon, which you're about to read. They've taken on tradition and man's way of trying to please God, which we're all really trying to do. But see, by the Spirit is how we please God, not in our own man-made way of thinking. And so, but the Christianity as a whole has brought the Ark of God, have brought the Ark of God or Jesus into their pagan temple. And when things didn't go right, they got rid of the ark instead of getting rid of Dagon or the paganism. Let's read 1 Samuel 5. After the Philistines had captured the ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then they carried the ark into Dagon's temple. They carried the ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. So that, anyway. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. But the following morning, when they arose, there was Dagon again, falling on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. His head and hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only the body remained. You know, the Lord showed me that his head being off showed that, you know, he has no leadership. The head is the leadership. Christ is the head of the body. And he has no hands because a dead God cannot do any works. Man can do works from a dead God, but they're futile. They're temporary. And so the head and the hands came off because of the leadership and the work of God. It's just not there. That is why this day neither the priest of Dagon nor any others who entered Dagon's temple at Ashdod step on the threshold. The Lord's hand was very heavy upon the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation upon them and afflicted them with tumors. Ooh. When the men of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, "The ark of God of Israel must not stay here with us." See, they got rid of the wrong God. Because they've already erected their... See, people have already erected their gods and their temples. And they want God in their life, so they bring God into their life. And when they see things don't work and, you know, things get ugly, sometimes they kick out the wrong God. They kick out the God, the ark of God, the, you know, the presence of God, instead of their false God who has no head, no hands, no anything, no breath, no life. So they called together the rulers of the Philistines and asked them, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" Isn't that the awesome question of our lives? What shall we do with God, with Jesus? They answered, "Have the ark of God of Israel moved to Gath." So they moved the ark of the God of Israel. But after they had moved it, the Lord's hand was against that city, throwing it into great panic. He afflicted the people of the city, both young and old, with an outbreak of tumors. So they sent the ark of God to Ekron. They're passing God around like a... As the ark of God was entering Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out, "They have brought the ark of God of Israel around to us to kill us and our people." A lot of people are still afraid of God, but they're afraid of God in the wrong way. They're afraid if they bring God in, they're going to have to destroy all the sin that they love and their God that they have erected in their hearts and minds. And they try to live on the fence. And the devil owns the fence. I mean, you can't serve God and mammon, money and God. You can't. You have to be totally sold out to God. But anyway, verse 10. So they sent the ark of God to Ekron. As the ark of God was entering Ekron, people cried out, "They have brought the ark of God to Israel. Of Israel around to us to kill us and our people." So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and said, "Send the ark of the God of Israel away. Let it go back to its own place, or it will kill us and our people." For death had filled the city with panic. God's hand was very heavy upon it. I'm telling you what, you embrace a God, a false God over Yeshua, you will suffer. Plain as that. Those who did not die were afflicted with tumors, and the outcry of the city went up to heaven. So people play games with God. They throw out God instead of the true God that they need. You know, that's pluralism, where they've taken paganism and they've brought it into their lives and embraced it. When you hear people say that Jesus or Yeshua is just part of a long list of gods, you can use Scripture to lift up Yeshua's name without putting down what they believe. There are innumerable scriptures showing the importance of Yeshua's name, of Jesus' name. Remember, the devil wants you to believe in one of three things. Number one, there is no God. Okay, that's atheism. Number two, there are many gods. Okay, that's pluralism. Or you can be God, which is a form of narcissism or self-love where you morally, you know, are independent and you choose right and wrong. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did? They decided to morally choose of their own, going against what God said. All of these three things are lies. There is no God is a lie. There are many gods is true. But what it's saying is that their many gods are just as good as your God. You know, people say, my truth is as good as your truth. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. But the truth is, there's only one truth, and his name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and God the Father, you know, which we're going to get into here. Because you have to know the name of God before you can take on the name and have favor with that name. If you're representing God in a wrong way, you don't know who God is, what is the deity of God, you won't have favor as much as you know the true name, because then you carry that name. All right. These are some scriptures about knowing the true God. Let's turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. We're going to read 9 through 11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's an excellent scripture to remember. Another one is Zechariah 14:9. Let's go there. Zechariah 14:9. All right. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. Hallelujah. On that day there will be one Lord, and his name the only name. Whew. And we're going to get into what that name is. The holiest name of God. Let's go to Exodus. Exodus 3. Exodus 3. We're going to read Exodus 3, 14 and 15. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. You know, he's the great I am. I love the scripture when he was in the garden and the soldiers came to get him. And they asked, you know, and he said, I am. And they all fell down at that. That is so awesome. God is the great I am. Hallelujah. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. It's two books farther. Three books. Deuteronomy 6. This is a book that Jesus loved because he stated a lot of things out of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's the Shema, the statement of faith, Israel's statement of faith. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on the on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's why we have a mezuzah in it. We see the commandments as we go in and out of our door, remembering, hey, you live through these commandments. But these are important scriptures to remember, to hold up the name of God, to show that there is only one God. Do you know God's name? Turn to Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, verse 4. We're going to read 4 through 4. 4 is kind of long. Who has gone up to heaven and come down? Who has gathered up the wind in the hollow of his hands? Who has wrapped up the waters in his cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and the name of his son? Tell me if you know. Do you know God's name? You know, I love that song, the El Elyon, the Most High God, you know, only living God. The most holy name of God, though, is Yahweh, or Yahweh Vav-Heh. It uses consonants only, no vowels. It's called the Tetragrammaton. In Hebrew, it's Adonai. In English, it'd be Jehovah, the closest thing, but Yahweh is his name. That's the most holy name of God. In all the books written by Paul, start by saying, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's in Corinthians, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, on and on and on. 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. It recognizes God as being God the Father and Jesus the Son as being one. And that is the essence of God. There is not a third person of the Holy Spirit. They have a Holy Spirit, yes. And that's the way it is. That's the name of God, is Yahweh. He consists of God the Father and God the Son as one. They are a cod, and we are a cod with Yeshua, making us one with Him. There can't be any confusion. To believe any other way is to mix God. Why am I talking so much about the name of God? Because if you don't know your God in a personal way and call Him Abba Father, you'll find that in Romans 8, verse 15. It really means daddy. You call Him Abba Father. It's like really close. I was never that close to my earthly father. I wanted to be. But I'm close to my Father in heaven. And I call Him daddy. You better know the name before you take on the name that is above every name. How can you talk to and know God if you are not anchored in the deity of God? God is not a God of confusion. In order to establish favor with the good name here on this side of heaven, you must know your God, who He is, what His nature is like, and what His name is. You must know how to please Him. You must know the plans He has for you. And it's in the Torah. His plan, the plan of salvation is from the Jews, the Bible says, and it's in the Torah. Judah kept the Torah, and we owe our whole Christianity to them, because if they didn't hold the Torah, we would not know what, we would not have Christianity. Gentiles would be lost. Let's go to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. You all know this scripture, but I'm going to read it again because there might be somebody listening that's never heard it. Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You know, we have to follow God's plan because it says in verse 12, then you will hear, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen. God, you know, we need to follow God's way before He really listens. If you seek me and find me, when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and place you where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Let's go to Leviticus. Let's go back to the Torah. Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26, verses 3 through 9. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees of the field their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove savage beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. See, God is love. He is faithful. Yahweh continues to draw people back to Him through their Christian roots. Israel, their Hebrew roots. Christianity today needs a strong dose of Judaism to show them who they are. If you claim to be a Christian, then you are Israel. Go to Ephesians 2, please. Ephesians 2. Verse 12. Ephesians 2:12. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Us Gentiles were grafted in. We were brought in. Now let's go to Ephesians 3. And verse 6, just another chapter over. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus. Three times in verse 6 is the word together. The Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of the body, and shares together of the promise. Three times it says the word together. So hey, wake up. There is no Gentile church in God's eyes. When we are adopted, we are Israel, as Paul says in Galatians 6:16, the Israel of God. So we know God in His name and also His purpose to show you how you fit into the plans He has set up in the Torah. Now you can establish a good name and favor for yourself by doing God's will. You know, Matthew 11:19 says, wisdom is proved right by our actions. When we live out the way, when we live out Torah observance and Spirit-filled, people see us, and that is the greatest witness. To live your life according to the way you know and believe is the true formula for pleasing God and loving God. Then you will receive favor. Let's go to, I'll prove it in the Word. Let's go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. I'm going to read the whole thing. I was going to read just part of it, but it's so good. Proverbs 3. You know, we've already read 1 through 6. I don't know if I have enough time. I'm going to start at verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves. As a father, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for he is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. He's talking about wisdom. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament of grace to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. The Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you know you have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame. You know, when you live for God, you have everything that you need. I mean, he gives us all we need for life. You know, and you won't shame your name when you know you represent his name. And you represent the work of Christ here on earth. You know, we are his ambassadors. You all know what an ambassador is. It's someone who represents a country to other countries. They have we have American ambassadors. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5, please. 2 Corinthians 5. Now you talk about favor. Live the right way and you'll have all the favor you ever wanted. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as through Christ were making his appeal through us. As though Christ were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So it says right there in verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We represent Christ. So are we living the right way where people say, hey, you know what? If we live it the right way, people will look and say, what wisdom that is. It's in the Word. You'll find it. They looked at Israel and they said, what wisdom? Who, you know, I want to know how they get to where they're at. And that's the way it should be with us. So we should be so happy on the Sabbath and so full of God and so that we just exemplify God and we're automatically ambassadors by the way we live. Let's go to Psalm 23. I don't know if I got the right page here. Okay. Psalm 23, we all know that psalm. It's usually read at funerals, unfortunately. Psalm 23. We're going to read verse 3. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He has given us the way in order to uphold his name, that we will represent him correctly. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He cares about his name. So you better use it wisely and represent it wisely by living out what God has told you to live out, to be obedient. When you please God, He gives you favor. I looked up the word favor. It's approval or unmerited favor. Is grace. You must have faith, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Proverbs 8. Let's go to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8:35. Proverbs 8:35 says, "For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord." So keep looking and you'll see him and you'll know him and you'll find favor. "But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death." Whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. When you truly find Yeshua and you're living for him and his covenant ways, the way, according to the Torah and Spirit-filled, then you'll receive favor from the Lord. When God hooked me up with Gene, I received favor from him. Proverbs 18:22. Let's go there. Proverbs 18:22. And today there's a wedding. Zach's getting married. Hallelujah. He who finds a wife. Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. You know, marriage, I'm all for marriage. I'm the type, I cannot be alone. I don't like to be alone. And it's favor from God when he hooks you up with a good soulmate, a good person that you can be equally yoked and learn together. And Lord willing, one day all the husbands and wives will be in what they believe in to be united. Amen. When you find a wife, you find a good thing. God gave me total favor when I found you. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 11. This is titled, "The Favor of God." The year of the Lord's favor. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." And I needed that verse in 1986, and I really grabbed that verse. "He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." We're to display his splendor. "They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God, who will feed on the wealth of nations, and their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everything and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes a sprout come up, and garden causes seed to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations." When we praise God, when we worship God, the best way to worship God is to give your total life. And we give our total life, we totally worship God the way we are meant to display his splendor. It will attract, people will say, "Hey, they will feel the Lord's presence so strong if we just had that kind of unity where everybody could enter in and not just sit there and start making judgments, you know. Why not just surrender to God? Why not just give your heart to Him totally and completely and keep researching what you do not know? For His ways are greater than our ways. And there's so much to glean from Him and from His Word. Luke 2:14. Running out of time. Luke 2:14. I may have to skip some of the scripture. I have a bunch left. And Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of whom His favor rests. God rests His favor on us when we're pleasing Him and doing what we should do, when we're obeying Him. 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. This is really good. 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For He says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now it's the time to live for God in the way that He designed. You know, living the Torah, living the Sabbath, you know, His time gives us favor. His moedims, His moeds, His holy times. God gives us favor on those times. And I truly believe that. Let's turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verse 7. We are consumed by your, let's see. That isn't the right scripture. I'm sorry, 17, verse 17, not 7. Okay, I didn't see my one. Psalm 90, verse 17. May the favor of the Lord your God rest upon us. Establish the work of your hands for us. Yes, establish the work of your hands. He works it out. He walks it out for us. He works it out as we walk it out. Amen. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. See, God does things in advance. He has a plan way before we think about it. I'm going to start with 9. Not by works that no man can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, we're not saved by works so that we can boast, but we do works because God prepared them ahead of time for us to walk in them.
He prepares things in advance. His favor
establishes our position. He sets up and brings down kingdoms, doesn't He? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. So His favor establishes our position. His favor also establishes our prosperity. He is the one who enables you to gain wealth. We talked about all the things of God's favor and it's everything. He even gives you treasures in dark places. Isaiah 45:3-4. Let's go there. You think the devil stole a lot from you? I tell you what, you're going to get it back. Because you will lose nothing when it comes to serving God. Isaiah 45:3-4. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. He knows your name. And He will give you not only riches He'll give you the riches of the enemy even. You know, look at the people that left Egypt. All the treasures they were just handed over to him. And God will do that.
He'll make a way for you to enable
to gain wealth, or he
will help you to get the treasures that are stored in darkness. And then his favor establishes your longevity.
Your longevity. The last verse of Psalm 91, I claim this verse. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. I'm living large now, especially during the holidays. The holy days, I should say. And we do love Thanksgiving. That's one of the, we do observe the holy days, not the holidays. There are some good holidays that we do observe in this country that we believe in. Father's Day, Mother's Day is fine, Thanksgiving. But the things that are pagan, that are really have pluralism in them, or we have brought the Ark of God into the temple of wrong things is Easter and Christmas. It's you're going to get a tape that Kelly is going to preach on, and I look forward to hearing about that. You know, people, like I say, are not purposely doing these things at Christmas and Easter to honor other gods or to worship God. They say they love Jesus, and they do. But see, it's really not loving God the way he planned. You're not supposed to put anything alongside of him. I think he proved that with Dagon that we read in 1 Samuel, didn't we? You don't put nothing alongside God and honor that. You put God first.
And when you observe the holy days, you're putting God first.
And that's what we need to do, is have the tenets of a God fear, which is Sabbath observance, holy days observance, dietary laws, and keeping the holy days. Those are the things that we need to live and to live out.
So
that's all I had to say. And I thank God for his favor that he has his hand on me. And though I'm getting opposition, I rejoice in that, because I'm able to witness to my fellow man without shame that, hey, consider this, brother. Consider this. Let's look at this and prove with scriptures, not just when you give someone advice, give them a scripture, because that's what's going to help them, is what God has to say, not what we have to say. If you're in the Spirit and then you can speak in love, it goes a long way. It does a lot. And I thank God for his favor that he has a plan and a hope for all of us, that he loves us, and I thank God for it. Lord, we thank you for this time and this message. Favor and a good name is given to us by you. All good things come down from you, the Father of heavenly lights, of which there is no shadow of turning. Lord, help us to not turn away from you, to serve you in totalness and completeness, which is our reasonable service, for you gave your life for us, and we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you give us. We love you, Lord. We exalt your name. We lift you up. We look to you, God. You are high and lifted up, and your robe fills the temple, because you have conquered every nation. You know, a king, when he conquers a nation, he takes that robe of that king and puts it on his robe. And it's called the train. That's why it says, and his train fills the temple. Imagine a God in heaven who has a train that is just has all the nations, and it fills the temple. He is the only God, El Elyon, the only wise God, the true God, the Most High God. And we thank you, God, that you show us that, and that you're directing us in your Torah and your way of living. We give you glory this day in Yeshua's mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen.